75% of Americans believe in UFOs. 80% of Americans believe UFOs are vehicles from other worlds. And 3% of Americans believe they have been abducted by aliens. That's over 8 million people. They're out there, aren't they?
Welcome to the UFO Files Show with your host, Jerry Pippin.
Welcome back to the UFO Files, everyone. I'm Jerry Pippin on the line from British Columbia. We have Ryan Vike. You have to mow your lawn up there too, huh?
Yeah, the snow's gone. I tell you, we had a little bit of it. The weather's changed. Warm. Now it's back out mowing lawns and picking out the weeds. So, hey, at least the weather's a lot warmer than it was. So, hey, I'm so thankful for that.
Yeah, I'm sure you're ready for spring. We all are, as a matter of fact, regardless of where we live. Do you get more activity in British Columbia in the spring and summer? I mean, you've had plenty in the winter.
Yes, I have. No doubt about it. I've had a good number of reports. It's slower, definitely in the wintertime. We get a lot of snow and we get a lot of cold temperatures up here, being far up north. So more people are, more sticking indoors, going to pick up videos or just watching TV. You know, you get minus 30 temperatures and, hey, not too many people are wandering around. So, once the weather starts changing and, people get out and of course the daylight hours are longer, and if you go out in their gardens and they get out camping and fishing out the lake and so forth. So, once they're out, they're looking, they spot things, and it definitely picks up through the spring and the summer.
Well, you have all kinds of reports of UFOs hanging around lakes and mountaintops and things like that in British Columbia, and we'll get to some of those in a minute. But I want to ask you about what's happening down there in Sonora, California. I know you've been on that case.
Oh, yeah, that's an interesting case. And
why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about that background-wise, too?
Yeah, well, Jerry, is any of your listeners, any researchers out there that are interested in taking on...
So someone around Sonora or would like to make a trip there, they can contact you on your website, and you can work it out with them.
You bet. You bet they can.
And why don't we go ahead and give the name of your website? We have a link to it, but for the radio listeners.
But anyways, it's www.hbccufo.com or www.brianvike.com. So either one will take you to my website.
And that's B-R-I-A-N?
Yep, V-I-K-E.
V is in victory.
You bet.
Let's get back to this Sonora case. I find it interesting.
Okay, well, it goes back some years because it involves the whole family, the mom, the sister, and the two sons. But more recent was on March 25th, approximately 9 p.m. Here we are. Here we have the mom and one of the sons, who eventually ends up with all these marks on his body and bruises and so forth. They were sitting out at their workplace in front of the store, and they watched an object come low over top. It was sort of roundish white, fairly bright, and it wasn't extremely large. It flew over top low and sort of went off in the distance. Now, when it went off in the distance, now they weren't too sure if this thing just flew a long ways out and it just sort of faded out, or did it come to a stop and then shrunk and then just disappeared. So, they weren't too sure. But anyways, that took place the next morning. The fella goes over to his brother's place, and his brother looked at him and says, "Oh my gosh, you look like a wreck. What's the matter?" And he says, "Oh, gee, regular kind of thing. Sort of feel a little off, And anyways, the brother took off his shirt, and the other one looked at him and says, "Oh my God, he had very bad bruising down his spine on the lower bottom, so around your tailbone and up a little ways, say maybe just below the center of your back. Also, he ended up with quite a large mark on his back. And he had the standard run-of-the-mill bleeding, out of the right nostril, sort of nauseous feeling. Not any pain associated with the wounds, the bruising. A little tender, mind you. So that went on, and they discussed that. And they sent me pictures of all this, and I have these up on my site, so when it's up, people can actually have a look at this. It continued on into, all of a sudden, on April 3rd, one of the brothers, not the fellow with the marks, but the other one, he ends up outside, this is at 7:15 p.m. on the 3rd of April, He watches this bluish light travel across the sky, clear, full moon out, and it's because he couldn't miss it. It traveled right in front of the moon. And, we're low down in altitude, mind. He wasn't very far away. I think he already said it was a couple of football fields in length away from him. And this traveled along, he said, about dime size, and then just eventually disappeared. It did some, wobbling and some sort of side-to-side moving, but nothing spectacular. The next day, here we go again. The brother, more big, large strip mark on his back. This is the one who's actually getting all these marks on it. Like he started on the 25th of March. Is the same.
Then he got marks.
He got it again.
Okay.
One behind his ear, another large scoop mark on his back, on his spine. Not really any bruising this time, but so that went on, and we worked in the lab a little bit. And then along came April the 27th. His brother actually took some, he was taking some pictures of not the one with the marks. Maybe I shouldn't put a name with this, but not the one with the marks, but anyways, he was out taking pictures of a contrail that was going over from a jet. And a beautiful blue sky. He took pictures, didn't see anything. He uploaded them to his computer, and he noticed an object of some sort, which he didn't see on his computer on the field. Anyways, he blew it up a little bit, and sure enough, there was an object of some sort. So anyways, sent them off to me. I got them posted. He took some more photographs. Now, there's a really weird object you might have seen, Jerry, running around the internet. Now, it's a really strange duck. It's quite long, kind of slender, but in length, it's really weird. And at the other end, it's got these little, almost like hooks coming down to an extent. There's even a report of cross circles and so forth. Now, he caught something very, after you do some work with the image, and this is a different image now, once you do some work with this darn thing, it looks identical to that. The next day, again, this brother who's accumulating all the bruising and marks and so forth, again, he's got marks all over his body. So this is a type of thing.
Every time the one brother sees something, the other brother gets some marks and bruises.
You bet. Yeah. So exactly. So as soon as there is a sighting that evening, the next morning the brother's waking up with stuff. And the weird thing is, too, like the mom and the sister and the two sons, they've all got identical marks on their body, identical, and they're back to the same place on her face.
So they've all been marked up, and none of them really remember anything about it other than they've seen these objects.
No, the mom some years ago, when she was younger, at one point there, she can remember. Now this is sort of like a dream, eh? Where she actually sat there and she was restrained down on some kind of a medical table. Her mom, she knew there was people around. Didn't say they were beings of any sort, or she didn't know if they were humans like us or whatnot. But anyways, they were all standing around this table, and her mom said, she looked at her mom, and her mom wasn't helping her. She was screaming and yelling for her, and it was just like her mom was frozen in time. Eventually, I guess, she woke up from this dream, and all of a sudden she had this mark on her mom.
You may not have had an opportunity to find out, but it'd be interesting to see if her mom and the other people in the other generation of the family saw the same sort of crap.
Yeah, it would be. And so this is it. I mean, this is why I'm looking for someone that who would go down and they can get all the nitty-gritty and talk to everybody, interview them all, do whatever they want to do, and try to get them, try to get work, do some work with these folks. And I think it would be really good and helpful for them, because I'm a long ways away, I'm here to help whoever. And that's what I'm here for. And if I can't do it because of my distance, sometimes, then I'll find something else. As a matter of fact, I just had a lady phone me tonight, just before you phoned. A lady phoned from the States and says, I've got some marks on me, could you maybe help? So I'm going to call her back after I do the interview with you.
Does she live in Canada? Or?
No, she's from the States.
You're getting a lot of activity out of the States. I noted 4 or 5 months ago on the air that somebody in Tennessee was, you were reporting on one of their abductions and sightings. I mean, you're getting pretty infamous, or is it famous?
Oh, well, I'm not famous.
Yeah.
I never will be famous. I do get around, I guess, that way. I think a lot of it, too, comes from because I do so many radio shows. Last week, I did 7, in the week.
Yeah, we talked about that by email, setting up this program, and you actually have been on almost everybody's program, and that's great. That's great.
And it's nice, and I appreciate the forum to, you know, be able to talk about it, because I enjoy it very much. I really do. I put a lot of effort through it. I work on it as much time as I want, and I don't have to worry about a job. And, you know, I enjoy talking to the people. I do enjoy trying to help to the best of my ability. You know, but if it wasn't for folks like yourself, then, you know, we wouldn't be able to get out these stories and have these other folks, you know, new people come along and say, hey, you know, I thought the marks on me, or I see this or that. So, you know, thanks to you guys.
Do you think those marks mean anything particular, or is it just the same sort of instrument they're using on people, or do you have an idea?
I'm not too much big on theories and thoughts and ideas.
Okay.
But of course, I'm looking for
you're
facts.
You're right. You're Jack Webb. Just the facts.
Yeah. Jack Webb is not getting very far. but no, I you know, guys can come up with all kinds of ideas on anything, I guess, in this field, abduction or just UFOs. But, you know, a lot of people say, well, they're tapping their spine, taking the fluid, and they're doing this and that, and I don't know. You know, right now I got really lucky. Like, I've been really trying to find somebody who do hypnotic regression on people that, you know, who are willing. And I always like to tell people, I say, hey, look, if you're going to go through this, and this is my personal opinion, if it's right or wrong, I said, you have to be prepared for what you're going to know or what you're going to find out if you go through this process. So you may want to really, you know, think about it, because, you know, you may not want to know all this. You're already depressed as it is, or stressed out. You may be really go off the deep end if you find out all this other stuff that may or may not come out. But I ended up finding a fella now who's on Vancouver Island, and he has volunteered his time. And he's been in this business for a long time, and he's certified, the whole ball of wax, and he's going to take on some of the, you know, cases that I feel, you know, I'll be the sort of the judge, and pick out some of the ones that I think that are really good, you know, and I think would be beneficial to the folks.
Is he up there in Canada?
Yes, he is. He's on Vancouver Island, yeah.
Uh-huh. Now, we're talking with Brian Vike, one of the premier UFO researchers in British Columbia. I'm Jerry Pippin. This is the UFO Files. Brian Vike on the line from British Columbia. Brian, what's the name of that little town you live in?
Houston, British Columbia.
Okay, and that's near what? Or near anything?
I guess the next town is about the large. We got small towns, you know, in between Smithers to the west and Burns Lake to the east. If you go a 3-hour drive east, then you come to Prince George, which is a good sized city. And then you go south down to Vancouver. So from me, Vancouver is about 12-hour drive or 13-hour drive.
So that gives everybody an idea. You are up there a little ways.
Oh, yeah. Well, if I can take a drive to Alaska, it takes me about 5 hours one way. But mind you, that's at the very, if you look at a map, Alaska's way up there. And if it comes very outer edge, comes way down the coast, down the coast. And then, so we can drive to the very tip. And there's a little place called Hyder, Alaska. You can go in there and get all Hyderized if you want. They advertise that. And it's really beautiful there, honestly.
Hyderized.
Yeah, that's when you can go get a little tipsy. Yeah, you can get Hyderized, all right.
you need a little antifreeze in the winter for darn sure.
But you're drinking pretty much, yeah. But it's a gorgeous country. Gosh, you see the salmon. You know what's neat about it? You got the salmon. They run up this little river. It's just loaded, and the grizzly bears are in this river, and you're only standing, if you're standing 30 feet away from it, you're on this boardwalk up above them. And there's no blockades again, so the grizzly, they can walk up there if they want, but they don't bother because they're too busy fishing. It's just wonderful. The glaciers are fantastic.
Now, you've got some things going on other places. It's gorgeous, too, down in the States around Portland. I think there's something happening, too, you told me.
Oh, yes. That was just pretty new. That was an interesting case, Portland, Oregon. Now, a fella, he wrote to me or emailed me, and he says, hey, look, I've been seeing some weird stuff down here. And he says, to the east, he says, and this was in, April 30th, 9:32, he ends up seeing these objects. Now, he says, you know, between the 9 and 11, he saw this apparent star-like objects in the east and the west on the horizon. Now, he said they, you know, strobed these multiple colors. Now, you know, it was kind of weird. He thought it was kind of uncommon anyway, so what he did is he took a photo with his digital camera, and he only used a 10 power optical zoom. and because they were strobing the light and that. He didn't get a very good shot of it. Nothing really much. It wasn't spectacular. So anyways, he pulls out his more powerful scope here, and he put on his 31 to 310 zoom scope, or power on this thing, and he, you know, zoomed in, and what he caught was pretty amazing. Now, I've had so many people comment on it, which is excellent, because that's what I want. I want people's feedback. Is it a planet? Some people said, hey, it's a planet. Some people said, it's a star. Some people, you know, it's definitely a UFO. We've been seeing these all over the place, and they could be right. But the thing is, it can't be all three. It has to be one or the other, or none of the above. So I'm trying to figure out what it is. So what it was is, this thing, when you look at it on the video clip, this thing is moving along, and it's changing. It's sort of, if you look at it, sort of circular almost, but it's changing sort of shape. Well, almost looks, I wouldn't say all along, it's maybe ovalish, and then, you know, it's sort of roundish, and it keeps changing, and the color is so vivid and brilliant and vibrant. It's changing the reds, the greens, the purples, you name it, orange. It's just unbelievable, but the thing is, it is tracking along with, you know, everything in the sky, like the stars and so forth. So, you know, it almost makes you want to think that's what it is. But I'm going to never say for sure. I'm going to put my finger on it until I actually
know. Now, is this the video clip that you've got up there on your website?
Well, I don't have the clip, actually.
One
image with 48 still shots. So he took shots and he stuck it on one big image.
You had some interesting things on your website. People can follow up all of those. Do you think, Brian, that activity's picking up, or has it been about this way all along, and you're getting more reports because people know more about you now?
I think it's a little bit of a hard one, I guess, too. I guess you can maybe say both, if that makes sense at all. Most definitely, people are know where I am because I do so many shows, you know, and of course, my name's out on the internet a lot more than it was before. So, I mean, when I started this, Jerry, back in the year 2000, which is the middle of, you know, I think I got, into 2001, before fall, I may have had about, for the 1 year, maybe five or six reports, UFO sighting reports. Then it came along in the fall, and ended up with, a crop circle and a cattle mute. Then it came in 2002, right at the beginning of February the 1st. Wow, we had the three women with the office of the boomerang. Huge ups went over. Amazing case. And then it just snowballed along. 2003 came along. That was has to have been the most fantastic case with the missing time, where the women were obviously lost about 35 to 45
minutes. Yeah, that one I'm very interested in. That was we've talked about that several times.
Oh, amazing case. And not only that, there's even the other one, Jerry, other big one in 2003, and there was a whole bunch of events. It all the missing time, this other amazing case with 200 witnesses plus for this one. And some other prior, the 25th of July, and it worked its way up to the 28th, you know, the 31st missing time, and so forth. Just kept going. But there was a lot of action around that area. Holy smokes, I couldn't believe it. I really couldn't.
And you said there were about 200 witnesses?
Yes, to one report. See, okay, I'll just give you a sort of a breakdown. On the 25th of July, 2003, there was, I think it was six people at Gardam Lake, which is just north of Kelowna, Vernon area, and what they're doing, they're all out on the beach, beautiful day, clear skies, but one of the guy's wives happened to look up in the sky, and she's seen a cylinder. Now, as she yelled out to the rest of the party, look up the sky, this cylinder broke or split in two. Now, one of the pieces moved a little faster, so it paralleled this cylinder. Now, this each part of the cylinder, one piece went to the northwest, one went to the northwest and the other went to the southeast, and then she disappeared. Now, then we were moving along. We had some other reports come in too, you know, different triangles. We had some wedge-shaped stuff, really weird stuff, just down the same area, Vernon, Kelowna, you know, all throughout there and then down into the Kootenays. Then we got up to the July 28th, and that there was an amazing, amazing case. Now, we had a lady by the name of Rhonda Brass. You don't mind me giving her name, otherwise I usually don't. She was with her husband and her family at St. Mary Lake. Now, the kids went to bed, so her husband and that, they're sitting outside, just took a little walk over by the cabin. They had some time themselves looking up, doing some stargazing and so forth. Beautiful night. They watched this great big, say, moon-sized, full moon-sized object come low over the valley. It flew down over the mountains, over the St. Mary Lake, and they're watching it. They said, now this object had like spikes or rays of light coming out of it. It would wobble a little bit. It would do a little slight zigzagging, and it changed direction, 90-degree turn. Now, and as this thing, and then after, of course, they lost sight of it and went home after their trip, as their weekend was over. They went home and they actually phoned the police and asked anybody reported. They said no. While she was so adamant that she'd seen this and her husband seen it, she contacted a newspaper. The newspaper ran a short little article. Three other ladies came forward and their families had seen the same object. So, I got on the case as soon as I found out about it, and then I found out there's other three people, so I contacted a newspaper. And I asked, I'm really interested, told who I was, and asked them, would it be possible to put a letter into the editor, which they did. And all of a sudden, it snowballed. People were watching this, and, well, matter of fact, here's one. This thing was in the distance. The family are sitting outside. It's nighttime. It's beautiful, warm out. They're all sitting around. There was mom and dad, two children. They see a light way in the distance, thinking it's an aircraft coming, you know, with a slanty light then, eh, or on. This thing's coming towards them. And as it's coming, of course, it's growing in size and getting brighter and brighter. And then as it's getting pretty darn close to their property, and, of course, the thing is now getting moon-sized again, all of a sudden the mom gets nervous. She grabs the kids, tells them to stay in the house, and then dad, he starts running in behind him. Now, this thing, just before it reached the corner of their property, because they have a little bit of acreage, the dad's running in the house. He stops and watches this thing make a 90-degree turn to the southeast, not a bit of sound to it, just motionless. It was just fantastic, and took off. This thing, as it went along to the southeast, it passed over one of the highways near Preston, and it went right over top of this truck. Well, actually, the guy pulled over the truck. And
hold on, Brian. That's exciting. We got to take a break. When we come back, let's pick it up where the thing flew over the truck. It's exciting. It's the UFO Files.
If you're looking for adventure, information, and entertainment on the internet, one stop fits all, JerryPippin.com. At JerryPippin.com, you'll find multimedia entertainment at its best. Almost 2 million people are enjoying hours of entertainment and information. Hit it now, www.JerryPippin.com.
Welcome back to the UFO Files. I'm Jerry Pippin on the line from Canada, British Columbia. We have the one and only Brian Vike. And Brian, we went to the break at the bottom of the hour. We were talking about this object flying over the top of a truck. Let's pick up that story. That's an exciting story.
And it went right over top of this truck. Well, actually, the guys pulled over the truck, but they didn't come and, pardon me, and they pulled over, got out, and this thing went right over top of them. No wind, no motion of this thing at all, no sound. They completely sit there with their jaw hitting the ground darn near. It was so fantastic. Now, there's about 36 people, roughly, who seen the ball, this giant object. But what followed minutes later was a beam of light. It had intensity or tendency, you get that right, or bright. It has a fluorescent fixture or tube. Sitting in the sky, it went from horizon to horizon, from the northwest to the southeast. It sat there for approximately an hour.
I mean, the light just stood out there. I mean, so it's just straight across the horizon.
You better believe, for about an hour. And it was so bright. It was just like a fluorescent tube. That was that bright. Now, I had so many people call me. Matter of fact, I had to go fishing, I'll tell you, Jerry, because it was getting crazy here. And the emails were fantastic. And the people were writing and telling me about this, and I couldn't believe it. And they said, and the neat thing about it, I mean, some people were, you know, it showed up again a week later, and I had people from Kelowna and, Kimberly write and said, we're watching it again, except it didn't last that long. It wasn't the traditional kind of thing like the Northern Lights, which you get a lot of, and they're nice to see up here because the skies are so clear and it's so dark. They said, we've seen Northern Lights all our life. It wasn't Northern Lights. No way. And so
wow. Well, we're talking with Brian Vike. He's in British Columbia. I'm Jerry Pippin. This is the UFO Files. Brian, Mike is telling us about this fluorescent tube, for lack of a better explanation, that went from horizon to horizon. Did it light up everything?
No, it just stayed in the sky. Didn't know light up the ground. It looked like it was up very high. Let's put it this way. People were standing under some of the street lanterns that the people would have in their neighborhood, you know. So that would be quite bright. And they said it stood out like a sore thumb. You could not miss it. Matter of fact, there was people even from Australia who were over here down in the Coonies at Whitetail Lake that were staying, come over and they were visiting their, family. And they're all staying at a cabin, and one of them has to go out to the washroom, which is late, because that might have been around 1 o'clock, because it lasted, I think, from about 1 to 2, if I got this in my brain right. And one of them had to go to the washroom and noticed it, and one went in back inside and woke everybody up, and they all came in. They even emailed me from Australia and said, "Hey, Mr. Pike, we've seen exactly the same thing on exactly the same night at the same time." Matter of fact, the observatory in the Kelowna area, They're baffled. They took a bunch of calls on it, Jerry, and they eventually just nicknamed it the Okanagan Arc. They haven't a clue what it is. They have no answers at all. I have no answers. I don't know what it is. I've checked every source. I have lots of people who also were, helped look into the case. Everybody came up dry. No idea.
That was last summer?
That was, yep, in July 28th of 2003.
And it didn't make any more appearances after that?
Just 1 week after. It did show up about a week after, and it didn't last very long. It lasted maybe 10 minutes at top, and then it disappeared. It wasn't quite as bright.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if it shows up this year.
Yes, it will be. It really will, because, you kind of wondered, is this something man-made? Is this something from, behind an object of some sort? I mean, there's so many questions. There's, there's more questions than there's obviously answers or answers to come. It's just, did I put the work into that, and so did a lot of other people, and they've just come up dry on everything. I know there was a meteor, a large fireball thing, but that was going towards Washington Way. But, meteors don't make these 90-degree turns. Don't come over top of mountains and drop.
Well, they don't hang around for an hour.
No. So it was an amazing case. I had someone even point out they were doing some, shooting off some rockets, and what they're doing is checking into weather patterns for the wind direction, see how it was going. But that was on the East Coast of the United States, and a lot of people were seeing this sort of, not a beam of light, but, like a, a contrail, but it was lit up real bright, in a nice sky. But it was, it was changing, the shape. It wasn't staying in a straight line, like the wind would carry, and it would get wavy. But this here just stayed straight like an arrow right across the sky for an hour. That's a long time.
It certainly is.
Yeah. So, I can't make out of that one. And then, of course, and that was on the 28th of July.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had a couple more reports come in of really cool circular object with all these wedge shapes all in it. In other words, if you were looking at a pie, and this thing was in the sky, is that a distance? Now, a lady, grandma, actually, was outside with her grandson, and like I say, the weather down there is gorgeous. And anyway, they're out there, and they're going to have this camp out on their patio. And so she's sitting there and they get to sleep, and of course a little bit of noise and so forth, and maybe a party or whatever, and she couldn't sleep, so she got up and she was standing looking up the patio, seeing this pie-shaped object with all these wedges. She watched this thing move around the sky, and eventually these wedges flew off it and were gone, and still was the object, the main object. Weird object. And then the really weird one, Jerry, this is one of the biggest cases I think I've worked on to date. Amazing case. And that took place on July 31st, and that was in Kelowna, and that's when I called them Linda and Pat in my report when I first put it out. But the actual lady's name, or one of them anyway, I think about, is Karina. And her and her friend, who was up from Abbotsford visiting Karina in Kelowna, decide they're playing around a computer, and these are, they're 47, one of the ladies, and another one's a little bit younger, not much. And anyways, they were playing a computer, and they thought, well, she was going to do some stargazing, because they used to do that a lot. Well, anyways, they got out in Karina's car and headed out towards the Glenmore area. And anyways, eventually they found a little spot, pull off right side of the road of the highway. No traffic coming at that time. There was some traffic prior. They pulled off. They both got out. that as soon as the passenger got out, she just, you know, looked up in the sky, and she saw these three points of white light came together. Of course, when you get three lights, you get a triangle when they get close together. Now, this object, these lights moved down and, you know, moved down. They were quite high, so they moved down, and they hovered above the highway. But just before it started, just about before it got to the position where it was hovering, the lights changed to green, like a neon green. And it was still a little bit ahead of them. And, of course, by that time, they're starting to flip out. They could hear some kind of a rattling just about immediately after this thing's hovering over the highway. I also, one of the, Karina grabbed the flashlight, shone it up. Now, she claims that she sees this, the outline of this beam. She said, now, she told me that the, and has reported this to a number of people, that the eyes were, had some kind of a glow to them. So that was sort of flipped them out. They got, started to get back.
And then the beam was outside the craft walking down the road or what?
No, there was actually, but from what I gather is there was a number of them, but they were off to the side of the highway and sort of behind a bush. Now, there's some good evidence on that, too. But they were sort of behind this bush. But when they shone the flashlight over, they could see the outline of this creature of some sort. That's what kind of got them, eh?
And the eyes were glowing.
And the eyes did have a glow to them.
And she didn't say what color.
I think she did it one time, but I can't remember. I know there was...
Did they have hoods or something on, or did they... How was this being dressed, or was it dressed?
They couldn't see, Jerry. All they could see was just this glow from the eye and a sort of the outer shoulder part that, you know, that was sticking out, I guess, from this tree or this bush, say. But she said that, you know, definitely if there was more, well, I guess from the amount of eyes, there was, I don't know if that, I think if I remember correctly, there might have been five of them just from the eyes, but they only see the outline up the side of one of these beams, the shoulder, and down a little bit. That was it. And of course, by that time, scared, which they already were anyways, from seeing the lights over the highway, they started to get back in the car. Now, they said it was just like going through quicksand, and everything slowed down in this slow motion. They managed to get in. And they did turn the car over, although they did have a little bit of time. You know, the light did flicker, but it was turning over. It did start. They did a U-turn, headed down the highway with this object, eventually right over top of them, or pretty close, traveling back down the highway. As they're heading to Kelowna, this thing falling right over top of them. They did went up in an orchard just eye to high. The thing was there. The object game was there. Didn't see no beans. They eventually got out and headed home and ended that off that night, pretty much.
We are talking to Brian Bryke, and he, of course, has been in the UFO business for a while now. And, Brian, you're up there in the North Woods, and we hear about things going bump in the night, literally, probably. What about Bigfoot sightings? You get into any of that stuff?
Oh, yeah. I just got one here recently, actually. I just posted, it's kind of a, you got to have a little fun with this stuff too, or you go crazy. So anyways, I had a nice gentleman contact me from Terrace, BC, which is about a 3-hour drive west from me, you know, heading up towards the coast. And he says, Brian, he says, you know, he says, my friend Chris, he said he was out hiking up Terrace Mountain up the side there, and he come up this little plateau, and he says, he come along and they did find some tracks supposedly. Now I never got no pictures of the tracks or nothing. I don't know if they took them or what, but I didn't get them. But on this sort of a flat rock, here was this pile of scat, or in other words, poop. You want to put it that way. And it was almost just under 2 pounds, I guess it was. So anyways, they ended up picking this up because they said this looks too unusual. I guess there was some sightings of big Sasquatch around the area too. For some time, and they were gathering reports. So anyways, they picked up the scat, and they brought it home, and I guess they kept it for such a long time, and they kept it for deep freeze, so it's all pretty much dried out now. In the meantime, they were writing letters off to some scientists and some Bigfoot researchers who might want to do some testing of this. I think somebody's getting interested in doing it, I believe, and I haven't talked to Larry for a little while, so... No, I probably will be sure.
Well, you know, we're kidding about, I mean, it's kind of funny, but at the same time, that's one of the things about the Bigfoot characters I've never really understood, is you don't find evidence like that around, usually. And you know they would have to poop.
We all do. But, you know, yeah.
And they never find their bodies.
No, that's right. That's right. Exactly. It seems to be. I mean, I've heard stories, you know, but I don't know how credible they are. You know, somebody found somebody, you never told anybody, I want to see something. Please show me something, you know. But we see the tracks, of course, and they go out all the time. Like there was supposedly up at, Nass River. Now, I never did get the pictures, but the people seem to be quite sincere, and there's been a number of them talking about this Sasquatch nest. Now, you know, I did, when somebody told me that, I said, what are you talking about, a nest? I don't think you're birds here, you know, but it's a little different thing, of course. But, you know, that was kind of interesting. I was hoping to get the pictures, but I never did. But anyways, I was still back in Terrace where these Sasquatches, Chris fella, he was talking to one of his buddies who lives just sort of outside of town, and it's all forest area, and on his property, and there's neighbors are a little bit away, you know, they're a little scattered, but they're still pretty close, it's one bunch. And anyways, one night he's sitting there, and I guess he sees this critter, this hair-covered critter, was outside his window, and he grabbed his gun, shotgun, and he fired from inside out to try to nail this thing.
Right through the window, huh?
Right through the window, and peppered his neighbor's house. Can you believe it, how crazy that is? But he did. And it's a true story.
Was that in the winter or the summer?
That was in, I think that was the spring.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
It freezes up otherwise.
I know, but I couldn't believe anybody would do that. I mean, I wouldn't want to shoot at the thing anyway, but to shoot out and blow out his own window and but the neighbor's house to get pepper. And that's, I mean, I don't know about take the critter out of it, but it actually did happen because they were so scared about the cops coming out. And again, they wanted to make sure we didn't, you know, don't tell who this, who the guy is and where he is. If you can't, it's like I got pictures of everything here and I can't post them because, you know, nobody wants to know this guy was that stupid.
Yeah, right. And as far as we know, he didn't hit the Bigfoot.
No, far as we know, no. Nothing.
I mean, there was
nothing.
There was
no line around, no hair, no blood, no nothing.
Wow. Have you had any reports of people hearing the Bigfoot make noise, like screams?
I wish I had that one in front of me. Yes, down in close to the United States, and it was actually on the BC border. That was actually pretty interesting, and happened, last year in the winter time, 2003. I can't remember. I wish I had it in front of me. But anyway, here's four people traveling down, and they're going to go across the border. And so this new close. Anyways, they're traveling the straight stretch, and there is snow around. I didn't get the report till, probably a month later. So, you know, by that time it had snowed and so forth. But they're traveling down the highway, and, heading off probably down about 90 clicks. So as they're traveling down, their headlights, it was dark out, catches something coming off the shoulder, so in other words, off the highway. So here they think it's coming along through the ditch to the side, and our highways are probably like yours. They're all cut back, you know, quite a bit, so to get, I don't know if it's for game or whatever, to keep a good power line and so forth. Anyway, the thing was coming up sort of through the ditch, and it came up onto the shoulder and then crossed the highway. So just because they seen this thing just because it was coming up through the ditch, of course, they slowed down immediately, figured this thing's not stopping. What is it? They didn't think it was Sasquatch, although it did have two legs and it was all covered with hair. This thing's moving across the highway. Their headlights, of course, are hitting it. This thing, it's not running, nothing like that. Walking, meandering across the highway. It hits the opposite side where, you know, where it was heading. It stopped. Meanwhile, the car stopped. The guy's rolling, the driver's rolling down his window, looking out, putting his head out the window, and he's looking at this critter. This critter looks at him, or the car, and turns his head back, gives out this weird screaming noise, screechy noise, and then eventually just keeps going through the opposite side of the road there, through the ditch, and off into the trees, and that was it. Those guys, they said they were petrified. They didn't know what to make of it. They said, but hey, they've heard the stories, never seen anything, but they said it's definitely, we saw something that it resembles the Sasquatch.
Of all the people that you have talked to over the years, you got anybody that's seen ETs come out of a craft or entities of some sort? You see evidence of extraterrestrials, but it's very rare that you see them come right out of the craft.
Yeah, I don't think so, Jerry.
Yeah, I mean, have there been reports of little grays up in British Columbia?
Yeah, I have. I've had them. Yeah, there was. I've had the reports. I mean, not coming out of the craft. I think, you know, it all seems to boil down to, you know, a vivid dream, and then something happening. Like, here's one here, God. Now, why did I do that? I know I dropped all my stuff on the paper here. Now, here's one here, and this goes back some years. The man is now 37 years old, but when he was, but I just got the report, so it's the report is new itself, pretty much. The fella, anyways, 37 years old now. When he was 9 to 12 years old, he was, here we go. Anyways, he was in bed. He said all of a sudden, he's never had any experiences before, but around this age time, he said, he was laying in bed, went to sleep, had this vivid dream, so emphasis on dream. Now, he said he felt paralyzed while he was laying in this bed. Now, I'll just give you this little thing here. Now, he said, well, what happened is, after, I guess, he woke up and everything, and that he ended up feeling some discomfort on his back, and he ends up with a, we're going to put a gouge out of his back, because that's what, when he went to see the family doctor, the doctor says, how did you get the gouge out of your back? He says, I woke up that way. Now, here's his little story here. The scoop mark was focused around a very detailed dream of hearing this strange chatter. Now, in his vivid dream, he found himself standing in front of his father's property, which is located in Crest, B.C., so it's down in the Kootenay area. Approximately 40 feet in front of him was a craft, which was hovering about 6 to 10 inches off the ground. Now, he said it was spherical in shape, but flat on the bottom, a dull aluminum cutter, and had no distinguishing markings. Now, he said there was a green glow, or just vapor cloud, which surrounded it, and he said there was like this vibration coming off it. So in other words, if you took your hand and you stuck it on a piece of working machinery, you sort of get that vibration, and that's how it felt to him. Now, when he woke up the next morning, he found himself on the floor. He had his socks on when he went to bed. His socks were damp. He said, in other words, like, you know, from the dew off the...
Like you've been out to walk in that morning.
Right. And there's these little twiggy branches, you know, not branches, there's little twigs that were on soil, which were around the area where he was laying. Now, and then, of course, you know, the next morning, that, here we have this great big gouge, scoop mark taken out of his back. Now, I've got the pictures are up on my side of that also. Now, that happened back when he was 10 or 12. Now, the mark remains to this day perfect. You can't miss it. This thing, he's got a light layer of skin over it. He said it's not sore. But he says if his girlfriend touches it, he says it's just drives him crazy. It's so sensitive that he can feel it go right up his spine, right to the back of his, not up his neck, the back of his head. It's very sensitive. There's veins running under this little bit of skin, light skin, covering this big gouge. It's really incredible.
And this happened when he was young.
Yep, it's when he was between 9 and 12 years old. Yeah, he's been wondering about this for years. He says, I've never mentioned it to no one. He says, I found it. Well, actually, I do a weekly radio show, update show every Friday with one of the stations down in NBC here. And he hears me on it, I guess, for the last while now. And so I guess he got up enough nerve to send me an email. So it was funny because I was sitting in front of the computer and the email just popped in. And I picked the phone up, called him right up, and he fell over. He said, that was quick, you know.
Yeah.
But, so he told me the story and so forth, and I was talking to him. And it was an interesting case, you know.
Well, we've just got a few minutes left here, Brian. You do have somebody that can do hypnotherapy now, right?
You betcha, I sure do.
So for this case you just finished talking about and others, I mean, it sounds to me like you keep your hypnotherapist friend busy forever.
Oh, yes. Well, there's one even on, I know we're running out of time here, one on the island, comes out of Courtney, that's Vancouver Island, just west of Vancouver. And anyways, there's a lady there, and she's had, visitations all her life. She's been up in a craft with other members of the communities around Courtney, so, you know, Power River, I mean, you know, Tuxedo Island. All these people she's met, supposedly, on a craft. They were all abducted. She's actually going to go see this fellow and hopefully get some answers. She wants to find these other people that goes were on the craft when she was taken.
So the other people in that village, or?
Yeah, actually, you know what? Yeah, in Courtney, well, Courtney, or Courtney where she is, like there's another place, other communities called Cascade Island, Power River, and other communities. There was all these people because I guess when they were on this craft, they would communicate, talk to each other, keep the people, and they were staying where they were from. And they're all from these different communities. In Bengal, they're all scooped up and taken. And, you know, so she's trying to find these people. And she says they're out there. And I, let me tell you, I'm surprised because even some of the places I would think there would even be people having these visitations or whatever. Boy, oh boy, that's why I'm surprised to find a lot of them. But a lot of them don't want to talk. But there is some now starting to come forward. And as long as you guarantee them, you're not going to go and blab his name and so forth. I won't even post it. You know, and they feel good about it.
Yeah, you've got a good reputation of honoring their wishes.
Oh, yeah.
And that's very important. And when they're ready to go public, we all want to know as much as we can, of course. And
right. But you've got to honor their wishes. That's most important. You can't disclose the information. And I do get flack over it because I do not give names out of my cases. I just don't. But maybe that's why I end up getting so much abuse.
Yeah, as we mentioned earlier in the program, you're getting reports from everywhere because the web goes everywhere and your website's becoming well known. You got 1,000 hits an hour, I understand, on at least at certain times.
Yeah, right now it's just a little over 1,000. Yes, it's climbing. It's climbing almost 80 weekly anyway. Yeah, right now it's over 1,000 hits per hour. Yeah,
BrianVike.com. That would get it, right?
You bet. Yeah, that'll get me, and I'm happy to hear anybody and. You know, you can always count on me to write back, that's for sure, and look into whatever you want to tell me.
Well, before we wrap up here, we've talked a little bit about that you don't like to give opinions because you're a researcher and you want to stay objective. But I wanted to find out, and you kind of alluded to this, that you're kind of like me. I don't think everything is benign. I don't think everything is this feel-good, new-age stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think there's, if it's not nefarious, it's not nice just picking people up and examining them. And that seems to be going on quite a lot. Is there a final incident we could talk about that's just scary as hell? I mean, you've had some things already. I love the glowing eyes on the bush.
Well, I've got cases here. There's one as long as it's hard to get into, but there was one that took place anyways of a lady who came down from Alaska. She came up just west of town, for about 8 kilometers out of Cold Country Hill, a big long hill. Anyways, there was a craft. She's driving up. She had all about 5 horses in a big trailer. She was pulling. She had her dog and a cat as traveling companions. She's heading up this big long hill. All of a sudden, her dog's going snaky. The hair up in the back, with neck standing up. A cat's underneath, all over her lap, underneath the seat. A beam of light hits her from, she looks, bends over, looks out the windscreen above. Of course, the light's blinding, but she can still make out an oval green-shaped object with this beam of light that's shining up the road, her truck, everything around her. And she's, of course, freaking right out. She slows the vehicle. The light goes off. The object shoots at the top of the hill where she stops on the hill because she says, "No way, I'm going up to the hill." This thing shot off to the mountain. So, I mean, it's a long story to this one, but eventually, after some real digging and looking, she's from North Carolina, and I called her a lot. What happened is a lot of the family are abductees. And some weird stuff after them. Implants, so forth. Incredible case.
And the dogs sense of the thing. Did the horses make noise, too? I guess they did.
Oh, well, she didn't. I did ask. Now, she says they seem to be calm. It was just, now, why, I don't know. Maybe she didn't hear it. Maybe there was so much going on, she didn't notice. But she did said that the dog and the cat in the cab of the truck with her definitely were going snaky. And I've just got reports, Acton, Ontario, Cambridge, St. Sue-Marie, Sudbury right now, same kind of deal. Multiple objects are returning all the time. I'm getting all kinds of reports, and they're catching this stuff on videotape now. So weird stuff coming there. Even Alberta, which I didn't get these first reports personally, same kind of thing. Multiple lights are being seen in the sky, almost going down to this Mexican thing where you've seen lots of lights. Really weird. Same with Smithers, just west of me. One day, you know, a couple different days, different witnesses come forward seeing these pink lights all over the sky. Weird stuff, and it definitely wasn't flares or fireworks, because they don't fly for great distances horizontally.
Well, Brian, keep us informed on what's happening, and you be safe out there in the woods, huh?
I sure will, and Jerry, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. Great to talk to you again.
It always is great to talk to you. Brian Pike, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Brian, for being on.
You're welcome. Have a good evening.
Okay, that's brianvike.com. B-R-I-A-N-V is in victory, I-K-E, correct?
You got her.
Oh, one word. Brian Vike, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. We'll talk to you again soon. Be safe.
Okay, my friend. Thanks so much for having me.
Good night.
Good night.